Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 84, Episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist,
yeah.
A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Friday, May 31st, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Facts Kellerman, a.k.a. Stephen Take Smith. This is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, man, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I don't mind spending every day with soup producer Stumpin' Hosnier. The tea is spilled and the takes are wild. On Daily Zeitgeist with Jack and Miles, and he will be stoned. He will be stoned.
Thank you so much.
That was beautiful.
The silent H after the silent H. I'm guessing that was Maroon 5.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That did sound like
okay,
Maroon
great.
5.
Then we're going to land on that one.
It had a very Maroon 5 vibe.
Yeah, Adam Levine, so fine.
My wife. We were listening to the Vampire Weekend album over the weekend, Dresses Vampires.
Uh-huh.
And she said one of the songs had a Maroon 5 vibe, and I haven't been able to listen to it ever.
Oh, it's ruined?
Again. Yeah.
Oh,
I was
well,
like, oh.
That happens.
That's no good. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Maggie May.
Yay!
Welcome
yay.
Back.
Thank
Maggie
you for
May,
having
yay.
Me again.
It's been too long.
Yeah.
You were like one of the first guests, I feel like, when we moved into the studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
Wow. Yeah, I think.
All right.
No? Wasn't 2017, maybe, when you came?
I think it's 2017. I don't 2017. Know when y'all moved here, though.
Yeah. It was right. in here, though.
Okay.
It
yeah.
was here. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all we need to know, because we lose track of all these episodes. But I do remember it's been a while.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me again.
You've grown. You're so much taller.
You're
now.
So much taller. Yeah. Wow. What grade are you in now?
Shot up.
Fifth.
Oh, wow.
Fifth.
So is that division? You guys do division yet?
We're the upperclassmen of yeah. elementary.
I remember when that's how people used to ask you, like, what grade are you in? And they're like, is that division? And I'm like,
right.
is what division?
Fifth grade? What the fuck are you talking about? Is that division?
It's like, long division.
Did you learn that yet? You know remainders?
Can you teach it to me?
Yeah.
Great, Maggie. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today, such as the fact that Moby has canceled his book tour. We are going to talk about the fact that LaCroix is going to be our... something between Snap Bracelets and Napster. It's gonna
Slapster.
Be one of, Slapsters. There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Millennials, Gen Xers, Z kids, Zoomers. they are more into voting than their elder statesmen, the boomers were. Freedom gas. We're going to talk about freedom gas, freedom molecules.
Need those. Molecules of freedom.
We're going to talk about the, you know, interesting relationship that President Trump has had to the knowledge that Russia helped him get elected, and whether trying to impeach him or starting the process of impeaching him will help or hurt the Democrats in the 2020 election. And we can now make it official that he is a crazy dictator, officially.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger because he raps now. We're going to talk about Sylvester Stallone releasing the trailer for Rambo Last Blood.
There better not be one after that.
I know.
Or I'm going to fuck him up.
The real Last real Blood. Blood.
Then after that, it's like, no, it's for real this time, Last Blood.
The last drop.
Seriously, though.
And the egg industry. We will talk about the egg industry.
They might be in trouble.
But first, Maggie, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
From my search history, how to get tape off of a car?
Tape off of a
off
car.
Off of the outside of a car.
Like adhesive? Like what's left behind?
Mm-hmm.
Or what happened?
Because I got a new car and they had taped something in the trunk for some reason. I have no idea. When they shipped it over, I guess they taped the trunk down or something. And I never bothered to get the tape off, like, initially.
Yeah.
Like, the gunk off of it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's just got that gunk on the back of my car.
Yes.
And I need to figure out how to, like...
Goo gone.
I used that, and I think I messed something up.
Oh,
because,
no.
Like, I think you're supposed to take the Goo gone and, like, just put it on the actual, like, adhesive part.
Oh, wow.
Right. And you just rubbed it all over the whole car.
I just sprayed it. I just sprayed it all
sprayed
over.
It
I was
down.
Like, Goo gone's going to know what's goo and what's not.
Yeah.
And Goo gone did not.
Oh, come on, Goo gone.
Just kind of made a little bit of a mess back there. So, yeah, I was trying to figure out if there was a way to fix it or if that's just what my car looks like.
So wait, are you now at a point where you're dealing with the leftover adhesive and the Goo gone disaster, or we're just limited? Oh, so it's a few things we need to address now. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure the listeners, Zeit Gang, if you have tips for Maggie Mae, how to get leftover dealer adhesive off your trunk.
Or if any of y'all want to just come over and do it for me.
Yeah.
I am down for that as well. We can meet in a parking lot and
yeah.
I'll bring lemonade.
Okay, perfect. Christy Yamaguchi, man, that's on you.
Zeit Gang, the Daily Zeitgeist is the evolutionary task rabbit.
Yeah.
It's much better.
You may have to drive somewhere, though.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't be able to keep my trunk closed if I remove the tape. How are you doing that? Is there like a latching system that works
or
closed.
Something? It's closed. There's seemingly no reason why it was taped down. I have no idea why. Huh. Like when it came off of the truck, I was like, what is this? And he was just like, here are the keys.
And you're like, oh, wow, thanks for that great customer service, sir.
Yeah.
What do I do here? And he goes,
meh, meh.
Like, I'm sorry, what the fuck was it? You a excuse Dick Tracy me? Bad guy? Fucking meh.
Have you ever had to buff out the scrape on a car with a WD-40?
No.
Yeah, that's a little trick that nobody should do without Googling themselves because I might fuck up your car. But,
wait, you got like a little scratch out?
Yeah.
Buffed it out?
Yeah, buffed it out. Did a little scratch.
How did you know? Where did you learn about that?
YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Are you familiar?
Yeah.
You heard about this place?
Of course. That's why, where
it's where
I
the
learned,
experts go.
It's where I learned about how people are trying to erase Western European civilization off the earth, Jack. We should be very worried about
that's
that.
That's right.
Also, this Steven Crowder guy, he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thanks,
cool.
YouTube. I was just looking at videos on how to throw a frisbee, and I got to alt-right shit real quick.
What is something you think is overrated, Maggie?
Celebrity kids.
Oh.
Which one specifically? Oh. You're thinking of somebody.
Just all of them. I've seen a lot of celebrity kid videos recently.
Name names.
And they're not, I mean, they're cute, but they're not any cuter than like my friend's kids, you know?
Yeah.
My niece and nephew, like my nieces and nephew, they're out here killing it. They are doing like really great content, and it's like,
oh shit,
yeah, like just they're super cute. They're
what kind of tent? What
stuff.
Kind of tent we getting out of your niece and nephew?
My niece, back when she was five, she would like she could read like super early, so she would be reading and just reciting. Like she was three, and she'd be like reciting things
right.
by
she's
memory.
She's like, I'm going to read from Madame Bovary now. Like,
right.
Oh, wow.
Right. She's doing spelling bees and stuff. My nephew is like a sports phenom. He's like 5 years old and scores all of the soccer goals.
Shit. In his,
like, all of them.
Okay, I like
He'll
that.
He'll score like 20 goals a game and like no one else will score anything else. Like,
okay.
His first time doing mutton busting in Texas, he won.
What's mutton busting?
Mutton busting is when you've got a lamb.
Uh-huh.
And you take a bunch of little kids and you put them on the lamb and you have them hold on.
Oh, that
shit.
And you
shit. Set the lamb off and just see how long they can hold on
yeah,
to.
Yeah,
some
yeah.
real hillbilly shit.
Oh, like Bronco right. busting.
Yeah.
But mutton. Okay, mutton now I got, it. Got you.
So he just showed up after soccer and like all the other kids were
like
in
his soccer uniform.
Boots. Yeah, he was in a soccer uniform. Like, what's going on? Okay. And he like stayed on the lamb. Like he was sideways at some point.
Wow.
And the lamb had to kick him off to like get it. But the, all those other kids, they had been like practicing and training
right.
like since they were like, you know, knee high to a grasshopper and he came in there, kicked everybody ass.
He pulled up, he's like, what's this game?
Yeah.
Right. Hold on. Okay. Fine.
It's like mutton who here?
Yeah.
Hold my juice.
It ain't
so
mutton
this,
to me.
Is this like basically little nice. Is this basically Little League rodeo? Is that what mutton busting is?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Nice. Like then what's what do you do after mutton busting? What's the next animal you graduate to?
Wiener dog. Probably. It's gotta be
smaller.
I think maybe it would be like one of those, like when the little kids chase like a little calf and then hog tie it.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's the next.
You gotta learn the elements of hip hop, the elements of Bronco busting.
Now, when do they start doing Little League rodeo clowns? Because that's when I would have gotten into it. Yeah.
If you
really sad clown jumping out of a barrel as like a 5 year old.
Or your just whole vibe is just like looking at the bull and just being like, whatever, dude.
Right.
Like, just do it. And you just bum the bull out.
Yeah.
If you land on your head after mutton busting, you get to be a clown.
Yeah.
There
exactly.
you go.
You don't have to do that anymore.
With a funny walk.
Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. The show Tuca and Birdie.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It's, I feel like, I've only heard good things about it, but I haven't heard enough good things about it.
Sure, yeah.
More people need to be talking about
yeah.
it. More people need... It's so, so good. It's like, I love cartoons, first of all. It's Ali Wong and Tiffany Haddish. How can you ever go wrong with the two
mm-hmm,
of those?
Right.
It's a kind of irreverent cartoon that you don't see people of color doing and you don't see women doing and you definitely don't see women of color doing.
Right, right, right.
So it's like, I love that, like... These are women of color in this kind of like, you know, Tim and Eric thing, which is usually, you know, a white boy club.
Yeah.
You know, it's and we're all interested in that kind of stuff.
Right.
We love it. So it's just so good. I feel like more people need to watch it. Y'all need a for y'all's consideration. I don't know if it's in time for that, but
almost for Emmys. Yeah, we're almost there. But and also Lisa Hanawalt, the creator who created all the BoJack Horseman characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's her show. And buy her art, too, because I think she's still giving, like, proceeds of her print sales to a pro-choice organization. She might not be doing that, but I've just bought a print recently from her.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
Like, you can get original art from her?
She has original arts.
She has original arts?
There's original arts, and there's just prints, too.
Right.
So if you just want to, you know, throw, like, a 20, you can do that, too. But she has, like, really cool, you know, her art's really funny.
And, yeah.
Like, money. Amazing.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know to be false, or vice versa?
I guess I'm just on one. That chewing your gum with your mouth open is not terrorism. It is.
Wow.
Terrorism.
It is. It's terrorism.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What is it about? Is it the sound? Is
yeah.
it, so I was like...
Because I've got misophonia. So
yeah.
like,
oh.
when I hear... Like, I can't be in a room with a ticking clock. It'll drive me insane. And just hearing that smacking and like just seeing someone's tongue sticking out like that, it's like, you really need to chew gum that hard
with your tongue sticking out?
Who
I don't even know.
Wait, wow, the way you do that, I've never
seen like
anyone
a dog eating spaghetti.
That is. Or like a cow chewing its own cud. Cud?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they eat.
There's some people that go hard with gum and it's just like, you know,
too much.
You're terrorizing people around you.
Yeah, what about the popping and snapping of gum? You good with that?
No.
Oh
no, that's even worse.
It is.
That's even worse. That's ISIS level terrorism.
Dang. Well, consider me Al Baghdadi, because I'll be snapping that gum like daddy. Mm. It's funny. It took me so long as a kid to learn how to do that. Like, I would flatten the gum by hand and then, like, hold it over my mouth. And I was like, is this how it's done? Because I would always see, like, this one bus driver always do it. And then I was like, then...
Just blow a bubble?
No, like, snap the gum. Like, you know, okay. You have to lay it over your teeth and then suck through to do that reverse pop.
Right. Okay.
Anyway. So, that's my...
Why'd you want to do it so bad? You want to put it on your resume? Or?
Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed really cool because I'd never heard it. And they were when you get those loud snaps, I was like, this is pretty good. Because I couldn't whistle either at the time. So I needed something to make up for it.
I see. Yeah. I can pop my gum, though.
Okay.
I can pop the hell out of my gum. But I don't because I'm not a terrorist.
Right.
Wow. Huh. So does that affect you? Like, if you chew gum for even a moment, is it resonating in your skull and you're like...
If I do chew gum and, like, I crack it in the back of one of my teeth, I'll just throw it away.
Wow. Okay.
Because if someone is around me and they don't like that sound, then I'm empathetic toward
that.
Wow. I'm like,
okay. You're very considerate.
This is bothering me. I don't want to bother anyone else. I'm not a terrorist, so let me throw this away.
And it doesn't matter where you are, right? You'll just spit it on the ground right there?
Right on the ground. Yeah. At church or at the White House. I don't care
anywhere it is.
What are some other sounds that are like that people don't realize are super annoying to you as somebody with mesothelioma?
Misophonia.
Misophonia. Yeah. No, you don't have
listomania.
Right.
I'm not a fan of like... Well, actually, that didn't bother me that much. Like, I guess.
What about sucking your teeth?
Yeah. Mm. Not a fan.
My grandmother used to do that all the time. Oh, sucking her teeth.
While she was judging you?
Yeah,
or just all the time?
Like,
my mom does that.
Or she was just always judging you?
Yeah, well, you know, she's a black woman from Chicago, so she would do some shit. She'd be like, I knew something was up when the teeth were being sucked.
Mm. Yeah, my mom does that.
And then I think I've developed one recently. I've really not been able to fuck with the fork and knife scratching on a plate. It used to not bother me.
A lot of people have.
But
that.
Recently, it's starting to like fucking shoot up my back when I hear it.
It's like a nail on the chalkboard kind of thing.
Yeah, and even nail on the chalkboard didn't really bother me. It was weird. Only in the last 7 months, I've noticed myself, like, even when I was eating something out of a bowl with a spoon, like, I was being very careful not to, like, scrape it because it was just getting to
me. Yeah.
You know, I think it might be the low versus high. I'm blanking on the word. The
threshold? Frequency range? Sonic range?
Pitch? Yeah. Because, like... I don't even register low sounds.
Oh.
Like, apparently I live next to a train.
Oh, really?
My friend was at my house, and she was like, oh, you live by a train. And I was like, what? And I listened, and I was like, well, I'll be damned. That's a train.
All your plates are, like, rattling.
Yeah.
You're just like, huh.
You're like, this damn misophonia. These plates. You're like, no, you just live by a train.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't notice the train sound unless, like, someone points that out.
Oh, interesting.
I've always found, like low sounds, like the subway in New York City, for some reason, that always, like, chills me out. Like, it doesn't bother me at all.
Right.
Like, to hear, like,
that low hum.
Yeah, a low hum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it has low sounds kind of have a bass kind of rattle to it, and that's kind of a satisfying.
Do dogs hear low sounds very well? I know low sounds, don't they travel the furthest?
Like, I have no idea.
Then higher frequencies. I don't know. Some audio engineer will tell me.
They might feel it.
Yeah, well, it's weird because my dog will, like, if a chain link fence. Am I right, DJ Daniel? Right? Yeah. Low frequencies travel further. Yeah, longer waves, so they travel longer. Anyway, so when, like, someone will open a chain link fence near my house, my dog goes wild. But I'll have the subwoofer on and I'll play "What Happened to That Boy." Mm-hmm. And when that bass hits, the dog is asleep. Doesn't even care.
Huh.
So that's why I'm like, I think dogs just don't care about bass, or maybe my dog is just about that cash money life.
I'm about to say, I was like, he might be like, when that bass hits.
He go talk to shit, we put a clap into that boy. I'm like, okay, wow. Didn't know you speak Rimby?
Rimby.
Damn.
All right, let's talk about Moby. You know, we all had our tickets for his upcoming book tour to hear what was going to be revealed by people who had made it even further into his book.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like every couple months we got a new revelation from somebody who had, you know, made it past page 20, and he has decided he's going to go away for a little while.
Yeah, I think all the takes from people being like, dude, this dude's creepy as fuck. He was lying about all these relationships, also trying to act like Natalie Portman wasn't just turned 18 when he was hitting on her.
Right.
But it's funny, on his website, it says, Moby is canceling all upcoming public appearances for the foreseeable future. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. All tickets will be refunded at the point of purchase, and Moby is happy to provide signed book plates to everyone who bought tickets to these events. The funny thing is, this was announced, I think, yesterday. He only had like 4 appearances left in Europe. So... sure. But he said he needs to go away for a while, was a quote he said.
That's very, I don't know, like circumspect of him to know the exact wording that we were all using. I should go away for a while.
I'm like, yeah. He's like,
yeah, I should.
He just scrolled through his comments and was like, okay, the consensus is go away.
It's either fuck off forever or why don't you go away for a minute? So I've decided, so.
Why don't you sit this one out, Moby?
So things, this, like his book, Then It Fell Apart. He's at that point with this book tour where Then It Fell Apart. So very fitting.
Yeah, he's just not the right type of creepy. Like, I would have been okay if he was like a weird creep, like a Tom York-ish type creep.
What do you mean?
Like, just like. He's like a fratty creepy dude, like that, which is not what I was expecting from a Moby.
Like a fratty or a freddy?
Frat boy. Okay. Yeah, like, oh, I was just crushing brews with my homies, rub my dick on Donald Trump,
Right.
And yeah, I was expecting him to like have more of an artist vibe, like just be like a weird... You know, scared of people. But I mean, he just seemed like a real regular frat boy.
I mean, if you wear Vans slip-ons with bootcut jeans, boy,
you're cool, right?
Yeah, you're number one. Your drip is out of control. Turn on the regulator, because I mean, my goodness.
Well, the thing about Moby for me is he kind of, to me, seems like he's trying just a little too hard to be notable or noticeable.
Right.
Because, like, yeah, we get it. You're Herman Melvin's, like, great-grandson or grandson or
Is he?
Yeah, that's why he goes by Moby.
Oh, shit.
Is that true?
Yeah, like, his name is Herman someone... Melville is his middle name. Herman Melville is, like, his grandfather or great-grandfather, one of the two.
Okay.
And so, like, to choose a name Moby... Right. When Melville is in the name that you use, it's like, well, okay, cool, we get it.
Ahab would have been tight. Right. That sounds more like a dubstep artist. Better.
But then he like had to double down so hard on like, oh, that's weird that Natalie Portman said we weren't dead. Like to double down that.
Yeah, it's like clearly. You
know. And then like on his Insta, he posted something like, oh, well, geez, who would have thought that people would have paid so much attention to a middle-aged guy with... They paid attention because you went and opened your mouth
twice. About Natalie Portman.
And led off, though, with I rubbed my dick on the president.
Right.
So everyone was like, what is in this book?
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, look, I was getting over 9/11. So already it was like, what is going on in this book?
Pulled the Tobias.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blame it all on 9/11, but it certainly didn't help. all right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Look at that. And Miles, so in the run-up to the 2018 election, there were a lot of articles about the disaffected youth. You know, just interviews with various Gen Zers or millennials where they were saying, you know, I don't care. I'm still not going to vote because it's not cool. It's not lit.
Yeah.
And also a bird scooter.
And also, dude. Yeah. I mean, if I could yeet, sure.
Right. Sure.
But it ain't that. So.
Right.
True. So facts 100.
Right.
So yeah, that article I think had a lot of people pissed off, especially because the midterms are so important. It's like, we have to at least take the house. We got to do something here. Right. And that happened. And it turns out that whole fear monger, just bullshit they were spreading is very inaccurate, because a recent poll and some data about the election shows, let me tell you about this little tidbit of information. In the midterm elections, millennial turnout among eligible voters nearly doubled in 2014. And younger generations.
From 2014.
Yeah. And younger generations, Gen Z, millennials, and Gen X actually outvoted boomer and prior generations, 62.2 million votes to 60.1 million votes. So that's over 2 million votes more for the youngins versus our parents and grandparents. So yeah, you know, keep voting, my pretties, because together we can make something happen, hopefully. But what's interesting is the olds, they also turned up too, because I think they had their highest ever midterm turnout ever was for this election. So they're definitely ready to make America old again. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah!
But now we'll see what happens with, you know, Gen Z, because Gen Z, they're actually voting a lot better than these other generations. Right now, about 20% of millennials, eligible millennials, vote. Yo, we got to do fucking better than that. Hello.
20%?
20 fucking percent? Are you serious?
That's
broke
bad.
As this fucking generation is, and you're just going to sit this one out? No.
Y'all don't have jobs. You have nothing better to do than go stand at a poll place.
Exactly.
Wait, so Gen Z, what's the percentage on Gen Z? Do we
a
know?
Third of their eligible voters vote.
Woo!
So good bad, for man. Good on them. And then by the time 2020 rolls around, the eligible Gen Z voters will have doubled. So this is like, yo, fuck talking to these old people.
Yeah.
Get in your little cousin's ears and their friends and stuff,
yeah.
You know, or, you know, dress up like a kid, go to a high school, try and talk to the kids where they're at, you know?
Yeah.
Some
or
teens.
Get kissed if you've never been kissed.
Never been kissed.
Yeah. That's a
Is that movie was about?
She's a journalist who goes undercover as a high school student and ends up making out with her teacher, who like always had feelings for her, but like he couldn't act on them because she's his student. Luke Wilson.
Just a case study for media ethics. Yeah,
exactly.
Whoa. So he, well, okay, whatever. Shit. It's 2019.
We let a lot of stuff happen in the 90s.
All right, let's talk about Freedom Gas, guys. This is a good way to, if you're feeling bad about, you know, using fossil fuels, if you're, you know, driving your Humvee to work.
Your Hummer H2, H1. Yeah,
and, or, you know, and you feel bad, you feel shame that you're doing something bad to the environment. You could, you know, change your ways or recontextualize what you're already doing and think of fossil fuels as freedom gas.
Yeah. So I guess because we are such an anti-carbon bend, you know, as we heard from the man who's running the anti-science crusade, we're vilifying carbon like the poor Jews were vilified by Hitler, according to him.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Energy, now, you know, they don't like renewables, obviously, because they want us to keep using coal and natural gas and everything as much as possible for as long as possible. And there's like a new liquefaction plant for natural gas that has come out. And the spin on this is so absurd. This comes from the Department of Energy, like a press release. It says, today, the U.S. Department of Energy advanced its commitment to promoting clean energy, job creation, and economic growth by approving additional exports of domestically produced natural gas from their Freeport LNG terminal located on Quintana Island in Texas. Now it says, increasing export capacity from the Freeport LNG project is critical to spreading freedom gas throughout the world by giving America's allies a diverse and affordable source of clean energy. Mm. Continued, with the U.S. in another year of record-setting natural gas production, I am pleased that the Department of Energy is doing what it can to promote an efficient regulatory system that allows for molecules of U.S. freedom to be exported to the world.
What?
I gotta go.
Yeah. Did they rename drone strikes? Molecules of U.S. freedom exported to the world.
To the world.
It doesn't even, I don't understand. I mean, I guess when it came down to the Iraq war and France was like, most sane people, they're like, we're not for this Iraq war. Right. And they're like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck France. We're not calling French fries or freedom fries.
Right.
I got why that happened. Not that like I I believe that sentiment, I share that sentiment, but I saw the logic path there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this merely just using freedom as a buzzword to make something more desirable?
I think so.
This is to trick stupid people.
Right.
This is 100% to trick stupid people into thinking that, like, people who are, you know, from Appalachia, whose kids came home and said, yo, we need to really stop the environment, this and that. This is to trick them into not being scared and just saying, oh, no, it's just freedom.
It's freedom, guys.
Right.
It's just freedom.
But I'm trying to think of, even if you were believing this, like, what you thought, what made this different than other gases? Like, there's gas, and there's freedom gas.
They're just trying to start a trend.
Yeah.
They're just
throw like, freedom in front of everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What'll be the next thing, then? Freedom nukes?
Yeah.
Freedom chemical warfare?
I mean, you know.
Freedom predatory capitalism?
Freedom privacy breach?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are freedom breaches, really. And that's why we have to fight against them.
Mm. Mm.
But yeah, I guess we are getting closer to just being like that movie Idiocracy.
Yeah. So this is what the Department of Energy is focused on.
Yeah. Right, and Rick Perry, you know, he's over there too. So he's loving it.
At a time when, you know, we could be focused on creating new jobs with actual like renewable energy. And, you know, that's one of the things that makes people who pay attention to, you know, long-term trends optimistic is that, well, yes, there's a lot of work to do to convert the economy to, you know, renewable sources of energy, but those like tasks will create huge amounts of work and huge jobs increases, and instead we're focused on rebranding natural gas exports,
a failed product that is now just really not that useful anymore.
So Trump admitted that Russia helped him get elected.
Mm-hmm.
So it's done.
Guys. Now let's do something about it. No, I mean, you know, that Mueller surprise press conference really revealed a few things. One, a lot of these journalists need to sit the fuck down because they were out here being like, oh, he said there wasn't things that would exonerate him. It's like, that was in the report. Yeah. I was reading things on Twitter. I was like, the shit was just there.
Right.
But I guess you really needed to hear it out of old Sam Eagle's mouth to get to you, for you to be like, oh shit, right. So there was some dirt going on. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, that sent waves through conservative media and the White House, which was really odd because, well, first of all, everyone on Fox News was like shocked that this was happening. They couldn't believe it. They're like, Robert Mueller is one of those scummy, sleazy Democrats or whatever. Right. Tucker Carlson tried to spin this shit, trying to act as if Mexico was the real Russia. He's like, for all this emphasis on Russia, he's like, there's another country that was trying to undermine our election. It's Mexico. Huh. And it, like, went into this weird thing about trying to get pushed for Mexican Americans or like immigrants to get citizenship. He was saying that was a way to deal in like voter sabotage or voter manipulation. He's like, not even Russia thought of something like that. It's like, whoa, you're reaching now. You're really just trying to spin the wheel.
Not even Mexico thought of something like that, because they didn't.
Yeah, right. You just thought of that right now.
That was you, Tucker.
Yeah, because you have to sort of like duck and dodge everything to make this president seem innocent. Anyway, the president then tweeted on Thursday morning. It says, Russia, Russia, Russia. That's all you heard in the beginning of this witch hunt hoax. And now Russia has disappeared because I had nothing to do with Russia helping me to get elected. Hold on. Mm. Did he just say that? What? Had nothing to do with Russia helping me to get elected? I think he did. He said it was a crime that didn't exist. So now the Dems and their partner, the fake news media, say he fought back against this phony crime that didn't exist. Okay, so everyone was like, oh, shit.
By the way, that's not where the sentence ends. It's just a long run-on trail.
Yeah, and I didn't even do it.
Words.
Because then he went on to all this other bullshit. So that was amazing. So inevitably, when he actually saw the press this morning, they said, whoa, you just said, it seems like you acknowledged that Russia helped you win.
Right.
Well, listen to his response now.
Did Russia help you get elected?
No, Russia did not help me get elected. You know who got me elected? You know who got me elected? I got me elected. Russia didn't help me at all. Russia, if anything, I think helped the other side. What you ought to ask is this. Do you think the media helped Hillary Clinton get elected? She didn't make it. But you take a look at collusion between Hillary Clinton and the media. You take a look at collusion between Hillary Clinton and Russia.
All right, enough of his fever dream of a response.
Between Hillary Clinton and Russia.
And Russia? Huh. One of these days, he is going to yell at a cloud. Like, wave his fist at it.
Old man yells at
cloud. Yells at cloud.
Yeah, man. It's just...
I don't even know where to start.
There's nowhere to start.
There's so much deflection, but strange. That's like like that song by Shaggy when he's like, it wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't
but
me.
If Shaggy was like, also because I got high and just throwing in random shit.
Right, right, right.
That would be like,
if those two songs had a baby, it's...
It wasn't me because it was you.
There we go. Yeah, 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 yes. That's
you
exactly
were cheating on you on the kitchen floor.
No, yes. I saw you banging on the sofa.
That was you.
But I even caught
from next door.
But I even caught you on camera.
That Miles, that was you on camera. And as we will see, ergo, I do like how he's always delivering like his most patently full of shit lies as he's about to get on a helicopter.
Yeah, it's always so bad. Right. Like, I think because he feels like he can truly run away
Exactly.
If he has to walk away, it's too slow, but he's like, whee! He's like, I don't know.
Deuces.
Yeah.
Like the height of supervillain kind of stuff.
I know.
Like,
yeah, right.
Exactly. This is what I did. And away!
And I gotta go into my coal-powered flapper car. Yeah. I mean, you know, so the saga continues.
Yes.
With that one.
There's this professor who has picked the last 9 elections correctly. I paid a lot of attention to him in the run-up to the 2016 election because he was one of a handful of people who was saying Trump was going to win. And, you know, I was horrified at that prospect. And turns out he was right again. And so he is now making his predictions about what is likely going to happen in the 2020 election. And he basically says it comes down to Trump is going to win unless Democrats start impeachment proceedings. So if Democrats actually start impeachment proceedings, he thinks Trump has a good chance at losing. which is kind of counter the, I think, the accepted wisdom on this, or at least Nancy Pelosi's accepted wisdom.
Yeah, well, I think for that, their calculus, or at least it seems like, because Nancy Pelosi keeps saying, it's not time yet, it's not time yet, it's not time yet. I think one strategy is just to have as many public hearings in the committees as possible to drag out as much information without going into impeachment to bring all that stuff to light or have people out loud say things. But the other thing is they know if like they start impeachment proceedings, it's just going to go to the Senate where it will be a mock trial.
Right.
Where, you know, Mitch McConnell is just going to like wave his neck flap at the altar and it'll be over.
Right.
So and then no what problem. They want to avoid is them having the sort of optics win, I guess, of saying like, and they tried to impeach the president and they failed. You see, can you believe these people? That's why y'all need to step up and help the Republicans in this election, because we have haters.
Right.
Trying to hate.
Yeah.
But I think that's the logic they're applying. I don't necessarily believe that, because I think on one hand, just as a function of the Constitution, you just need to do what is right.
Right.
But I also get the fear also of a total blowback, and we have 4 more years of this shit, and what? The worst case scenario, 4 more years of this shit, and they take the House?
Yeah. And so that's why I found what this dude was saying interesting, is because he's saying, like, he has these 14 questions that he asks every time heading into the election, and like how the number of yeses versus noes is what gives him his answer. And he says, like, this is the thing that will swing it, is whether there is like some ongoing scandal that is consistently in the headlines for the rest of the president's, you know, 2020 run.
Is there a reason why he emphasizes the impeachment scandals versus the never-ending fountain of scandals?
I think he's just assuming it needs to be something like
very concrete.
Right, concrete, and that's consistently. And I mean, there's just so much there. And so, I mean, I get Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats being, you know, the impeachment overall is not like a popular option. Like, it's less than 50%, I think. And her deal is like, we won the midterms by running on issues that are like 70% popular, like, you know, healthcare and
you can do both.
Taxing the yeah, but you can do both. And also, it's just on principle, it's not good to just let him off the hook.
Fuck no.
And there's also this, I think, memory we have that like Clinton's blowjob got dragged through the headlines for a year and people were just tired of that story. And so they were just like, fuck off, like stop it with that impeachment. And everyone remembers that like being a big, really fucked up the Republicans. But actually, they won the next presidential election. They won against Clinton's Vice President Gore.
Right.
And it was at least partially because Gore couldn't run with Clinton on his ticket. Like, Clinton didn't do any campaigning for Gore, even though he was a pretty popular president on his way out, because Gore was afraid of like being associated with the scandal that Clinton had, you know, made synonymous with his name in his second term. So this professor is like, yeah, it's one of those big kind of checkmark things that could sway the election. And, you know, another, the other impeachment that is at least somewhat recent was Nixon's. And that was one where during the impeachment and congressional hearings and congressional investigations, a lot of stuff came to light that changed people's perception. So that is the other thing that could work in Democrats' favor if they actually do go through with it, is that, you know, like the Mueller thing, even we knew what it said in the report because, you know, we read it, but
people don't read.
Yeah, people having him get up and say the stuff that is in the report was enough for people to be like,
oh sideshow Bob.
Right. So, like, people, I do think that just kind of relitigating some of these points that have, like, shown up in stories here and there that we're all like, what?
Right.
How is this
allowed?
You know, actually putting that and, like, having the people involved talk about that in front of Congress, I think that will or could have an effect that would taint Trump's legacy a little bit.
Taint.
How long of a range would an impeachment process take?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Like the Nixon one took, I think, 2 years, the investigation.
Because
by the time that one was over,
his popularity was so low that he resigned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm thinking that, like, if she's just waiting for there to be, like, a Democratic, like, for us to, like, you know, settle on one, and then, like, everything to kind of be cut and dried, and, like, they start campaigning and then hit him with an impeachment right there, then it's the Democrat running against a man with an impeachment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also just with, like, a lot of the court cases that have been won for Democrats trying to get documents and things like that, they're like, that's one thing she's been pointing to, like, for the people who are really focused on impeachment, saying, look, we're going to get these documents. Like, we're winning in the courts. So there's a way to bring this information out without impeachment that could also be, like, a controversy or whatever.
Right.
But at the same time, I just think for what is going on, just cannot let this president fucking run wild like this. That's just, like, I think just as a matter of principle has to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think, because you don't want to look like the party who just sat on their hands when all this shit was going on. I think that's worse. Or that's the kind of shit that will really get a lot of the more, like, aggressive, progressive side of the party to just be like, fuck out of here. Like, what,
right.
Like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
Yes.
So, you know, we'll see. But I think, you know, if her, like, bleed them slow strategy is, like, what she wants to do, I just, we'll see what happens. I can't think that's really going to help energize people. But at the same time, when you look at his base, right, there is that certain base that doesn't matter what the fuck comes out.
Right.
Because they're just going to be like, I don't give a fuck. But it is, I think there is that sliver of those Obama-Trump voters. I don't know how the fuck they did that. But those voters who somehow voted for Obama and then Trump, maybe those are people who are a little more likely to have, or I don't know, at least be more reasonable or open to being, like, you know, clear-eyed about it.
Right.
I just hope she has something, like, under her hat. Because I remember her daughter was talking about, my mom is sneaky. You don't get anything past my mom. And, you know, by the time she's got you, you don't even realize she's got you. You know, she just will, you know, make you feel like you're safe, and then she's got you. And I hope that's what she's doing. I hope she's trying to black widow him, like, and just smack him with something when he does not expect. Because up to now, he feels invincible.
Right. One, I think that's what's interesting, too. You know, Jack, you're saying, like, this could be the thing that brings him down, which is funny because a lot of the Republicans are like, oh, I dare you to impeach him. Oh, I dare you. Like, as if it's like a bluff, right, where they're like, oh, you don't know what I got. But really, you're saying that because you're scared shitless.
Yeah. Right.
Because you don't want them to actually pull up with the, okay, then, I'm ready. Are you?
We got it.
And they're like, yeah.
It's just every rock you turn over with this presidency and with just from Trump's life in general.
All roly-polies.
It's just
under there.
All bad. It's like you expect there to be roly-polies, and it's just fucking horrible thing.
It's not even roly polies under there.
Yeah.
It's a rotting hand. I was thinking of the whole thing. Was that Alexandra Pelosi who was saying that? Which daughter of hers? The documentary filmmaker?
I don't remember.
I'm just thinking of, like, what if Nancy Pelosi was that kind of mom where she would create a fake party that her daughter wanted to go to just to see if she's like, and you better stay home. But she's tempting her with this fake party.
Yeah.
It's like a warehouse party. And she gets there and it's just Nancy sitting there. They're like,
come on inside, dear.
Huh. Come on in.
Close the door behind you.
I was waiting for you. Like, she got me again.
And speaking of gaslighting, just really briefly, I had to mention the fact that while Trump was in Japan, the White House demanded that the USS John McCain be kept out of sight for his visit there because, the president gets his feelings hurt whenever John McCain's name is brought up. And
such a snowflake.
They were hanging a tarp over the name of the carrier because they were, you know, they were scared of that it would put him in a bad mood. So this is not something that, like, he is asking for. We are now at the point of toxicity where his just general, like, rageaholic behavior and the fact that he's completely irrational have infected everything around him to the point that people are just, like, throwing tarps over things so that he won't see them, like a parent trying to hide, like, a treat from a five-year-old. They're just like, oh, okay, yeah, don't look over here. Hey, what's that? What's that over there, Mr. President?
Right.
It's like, come on, man.
The funny thing, too, is it's named after McCain's father and grandfather originally.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And he was later added as a namesake. But when that first, when it was first named, it's after John McCain Sr. and John McCain Jr., who are the senator's father and grandfather. So it's like he's just the name.
He's three
got
six?
Him all fucked up. Yeah, he's three. He's 3 sticks.
Huh.
3 sticks McCain.
I mean, it's just very, it's very like one of those details that you feel like, oh, I'm going to be reading about that in history books if I, on the off chance that I live long enough to read history books about this time period.
Yeah. It's just such a, I just feel bad for the people who work in the, I mean, I don't feel bad for them because you're consciously, intentionally working for this president, but like that, you know, preemptively, it's like, yo, we got to fucking get rid of it. Only for him to probably get pissed now that this is a story.
Right.
And he's like, how the fuck did that happen? I don't give a fuck. Okay, maybe I do. But it's just, y'all just quit. Just quit.
Mm. It's like literally appeasing a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally appeasing a child. Like my kid doesn't like Elmo. And instead of just saying, walk by the Elmo, it's fine.
Right.
Elmo's not, just walk by, it's a puppet. You're like, oh gosh, we got to all hide the this Elmos. Elmo.
Right.
So this kid doesn't have a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, he knows about the USS John McCain. So it suggests that they assume that he lacks object permanence. That they're just like, oh, well, we just don't want him to think about the fact that it exists.
Right.
So let's just like, you know, throw a tarp over
it. He's just not going to even question like, yeah, what is under that sheet.
Yeah.
He's just going to be like, yeah.
Yeah. Because he doesn't know.
God, can you imagine the panic that must set in if he goes, what's up with that sheet on that ship? Just don't worry about
paint
this
job.
Maintenance.
Paint yeah. job.
Oh, okay.
We're painting it so it says USS Trump.
USS
John McClane.
Big Trump hands. USS giant hands. Oh, I love it. Okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and it's starting to look like LaCroix is going the direction of
the dinosaurs,
Napster, the dinosaurs, the dodo, the snap bracelet, the fidget spinner. Yeah, I said
Oh, hey, come on now.
Yeah, I said it, Miles.
Come after my spinners.
I'm riding spinners. Beanie Babies. You know, those things that were the wave until, and you just thought they'd always be there.
Well, first of all, fidget spinners are unfuckwithable.
Right.
Okay.
Most of my retirement is still in Beanie Babies, and I think they're going to come back around.
It's coming back around again.
Right.
Y'all have two fidget spinners in front of me right now.
Yes. Yeah. We're trying to be the first step in the wave of bringing them back.
Yeah. I think they're very relevant. I guess LaCroix is really, they're not doing well. I know last time we talked about him, it was because the owner, the CEO, sent out that one of his classical, wacky Microsoft Word clip art letters to investors, where it has all these weird graphics, and it's like, don't worry, it's the strongest it's ever been. Like, there's evildoers in the world who are trying to bring down the name of LaCroix.
Yeah.
And it was just like, no, I think it's just that there are many other people who are stepped into the arena now.
Yeah.
And you haven't done anything different since the beginnings.
Yeah. So since that time, sales have been in free fall. So sales fell 6% in February, around the time that, you know, the bug spray rumor was starting to make its ways around, and their CEO was making the news for just sending out wild letters to investors. Then in March, 5% drop. Then in April, 7% drop. Well, May is over, guys, and it fell 15% in the month of May.
Do they have any idea if that's just like the non-soda carbonated water industry is kind of taking a dive, or like other people are taking that place? Like,
no, other people are taking that place, to the point that Coca-Cola company just bought the Mexican sparkling water maker Topo Chico in 2017.
Oh, wow.
Smart Water just introduced, like, so I think probably individual sellers might be seeing a dip because there's so many options being thrown on the market. But LaCroix itself is, you know, they overextended. They released 3,000 flavors.
Their CEO is groping pilots.
Right. Their CEO started
that was also
groping
a problem.
Pilots.
Yeah.
They managed to still only have two good flavors. Pamplemousse and
Pamplemousse and Pomabaya.
I don't know what that is.
Pomabaya is cherry lime, I think.
Oh, okay. One of the little narrow cans.
Kurite or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I don't even know why the fuck. I guess that was the next evolution.
Right.
Iteration of the soda where they're like, put in a thinner can and use cursive on it now.
Yeah.
And use weird French words.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the fucking flavors. I have to look at the pictures because I don't know what the fuck these things are called except in English and Spanish.
And but pamplemousse is only good because it's fun to say.
Yeah, pamplemousse.
Yeah.
My French pronunciation is on point.
On point, yes.
Whatever competitor at Coke or Pepsi, whoever it was who came up with the idea to sue them for having cockroach spray in their drink, even though that's not really true. It's just the same chemical that exists in both things.
You're calling that corporate sabotage?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, wow.
Well, because
I like this. Okay.
I mean, and the speed with which that spread, that started in 2016. A woman named Lenora Rice brought the lawsuit, and that shit just was everywhere.
Lenora Cola.
Right.
First founder.
So now.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Nick Caparella. You know, I can't wait for this next letter.
Yeah.
Because that shit is going to be, it's like, numbers aren't real. Free fall is actually falling up if you turn your head upside down.
That's right.
Yeah. Flip those graphs upside down. That's what's actually happening.
So he started.
Strong as fuck. Look at it.
He started blaming the parent company, which I'm sure they loved. and he also said that managing the brand is similar to caring for someone who becomes handicapped.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So he's Flying high.
Yeah. And that was from the last letter.
Yeah, yeah.
Before
yeah.
the 15%, 7%. I'm like, wait till this one.
How does that make your brand sound good? Like, bringing LaCroix to you is like bringing a handicap.
Yeah,
right.
It's an invalid in a can. LaCroix.
Right.
Y'all fucking with it? No? Okay, no. Back to the drawing board. Right. Roach spray drink? Okay, sorry.
Should just come out with a roach spray flavor. Just,
you know, people would buy that.
Yeah.
Because if they, I would have
steer into the curve.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Just embrace your mistakes and be like, yeah, this is Raid flavor.
Raid. The collabo.
Oh, talking Raid instead of talking rain.
There you go. All right, let's talk about the song that is bumping in everybody's car right now. It is a song by the Austrian singer Andreas Gabalier.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Should we just play it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of these. The song is called Pump It Up, the motivation song.
Uh-huh.
And it's featuring another famous Austrian, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And first, I want you to hear Andreas's just Euro talk rap style that only European rappers do so well.
He was born in Austria. He had a dream to become a star. A poor young guy, but never shy. Said, here I am, hold on. He started counting lifts when pain comes on. Pump it up, don't bring it down.
Okay.
He's the man from Austria who likes to pump the Iron Throne.
Or whatever the fuck that is. Anyway, so that was pretty tight.
Wow. That sounds like someone's trying to teach somebody about multiplication.
Right.
That's kind of like...
Yeah, it's got that Schoolhouse Rock flow.
Divide by three.
Yeah.
Any number divisible by three can divide by three. What? Sorry.
Yeah, like not even bothering to make shit rhyme.
Yeah.
Just, if you just say it in the same way, it'll rhyme.
So then, the video's really fun, pleasant. I mean, you could hear that beat was like, sounded like church music.
Fire.
It sounded like a mega church praise song a little bit.
Yeah,
with that little acoustic guitar and little drum pattern. And then, I mean, y'all, get your lighters in the air because Arnie then steps into the booth and sets it on fire. And I would just want you to say, I don't know, fuck Kendrick Lamar. I'm saying that. Because have y'all heard Arnold Schwarzenegger? Roll the tape.
Hey, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Listen carefully. Dig deep down and ask yourself, who do you want to be? Not what, but who, if you believe success will come to you. Work like hell, trust yourself, and all your dreams come true. Break some rules, not the law, don't be afraid to fail. You have to think outside the box, I say no pain, no gain. I don't wanna hear it can't be done, give always something back. My name is Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back.
Woo!
He rhymed back.
Fucking
back.
Bars!
Wow.
Bars! He's got fucking bars.
He's a better rapper than Blueface currently, actually.
Yeah, bust down, Tatiana. Yeah, bust down, Tatiana. Bust down.
That's what I need. Being bad on purpose? Or?
I don't know. I would love to hear him actually do some covers of modern rap songs.
By Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he would do Drake, you know?
Yeah.
I've got my eyes on you. Yeah, everything that I need. But I was getting a little nervous with his last name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I didn't know if he was going to play a little, you know, for all my, where my Schwarzenegger's at. And that would have been wildly problematic. But respect to you, Mr. Austria, for not taking it there.
Yeah, man. He's, like all things he does, he's great at it. He's a great rapper.
Just terrible governor.
Terrible governor.
Terrible fucking governor.
Well, since we're checking in with Arnold Schwarzenegger, we should check in with his counterpart from the 80s, Sylvester Stallone, who has just released a trailer for Rambo Last Blood, the fifth Rambo movie. He is now 72. that's true.
Oh, really? Is that how they frame? Like they?
No. Sylvester Stallone is, and it doesn't seem to take place in the past.
Right. Well, he's on that human growth hormone.
Yeah, but it's interesting because Stallone's always about like mining the zeitgeist, like he had Rocky win the Cold War during at the height of like the 80s
right.
and you know 80s cheesiness.
he had Rambo go back and win the Vietnam War.
Do a do-over.
Right. Let's do a do-over and just have him use exploding arrows to kill like every Vietnamese soldier that survived the last war. And also he gave a lot of white boxing fans a white champion in the 70s, which is, you know, it turned out they really wanted. But apparently his read on the zeitgeist right now was the same as Lil Nas X, because Rambo's rolling around in a cowboy hat, riding a horse, and then he actually has like the movie trailer-ized version of Old Town Road.
Yeah, it's Old Town Road, the dramatic score version, which is not as good as the original. And you know what? I wish he would have used Lil Nas X's voice, but instead he went for the remix with Billy Ray Cyrus, because I guess he needed, you know, he knows who his audience is, because there are probably people who are like, this ain't country. Get it off the charts. Oh, Billy Ray Cyrus. Now I'm back in. But yeah, the whole vibe was like old. It's like he was like, it's like Home Alone. Look, like he was booby trapping his barn or some shit.
Right. Well, the original Rambo First Blood, not Last Blood, has a lot of booby traps because he's like a creature of the Vietnam War and the Vietnamese jungle. He learned how to like kill people Vietnam style. So he knows how to do booby traps. But yeah, now they're coming after his house. And so he's booby trapping his house. And it's very, very, very reminiscent of
Home Alone. He'll die in this?
No.
Could John Rambo die?
I don't know, man.
Do you think that's how he'll retire the character?
Like natural causes.
Right.
Yeah.
His head got too big from all that growth hormone?
His head is enormous.
It's too big.
Now.
It's too big. It's too big.
It's really taken on a very, very strange shape.
His hat size is 9 3/8. I don't even know they made fitteds like that.
Right.
But that's what it is.
Yeah.
It could have been so much better. Like, if they're going to really mine the zeitgeist and see what the time is, like, he could be, because when he said Last Blood, I thought he was, like, going through dialysis or something.
I mean, that's what Rocky in the Creed movies.
He could be fighting healthcare and just being like,
oh, wow.
I paid a copay or, like, what? They could have made it that way. And then he could just be, like, you know, tearing up.
Right,
you know,
He's fighting guys who are like stealing Bitcoin.
Right,
he's like Bitcoin thieves.
Well, this again appears to be Rambo in a foreign country, like continuing to fight other people's wars,
nondescript brown people.
Right, and but I mean, the thing that was great about the first one is that it was the tale of a Vietnam vet who comes home and like has to kill a corrupt sheriff and stuff. So it would be cool if he like fought the system or something.
Oh, that's how the first Rambo is?
Yeah. Yeah. Brian Dennehy is like a corrupt, like local sheriff who's like, get out of here with your long hair, hippie. And then he's like, he just has a flashback.
Hey.
Starts wrecking shit.
Don't I got rights? Hey, you know, I could blow this whole fucking town up.
Right. He basically does.
I got Lil Nas X blasting in my truck.
But is country music having like a moment? Because obviously there's been country music, but like now it's having this crossover with Old Town Road and Stallone, the zeitgeist master, was, you know, presumably already making a Rambo where he like was wearing a cowboy hat and like killing people out on a ranch.
Right.
Is this like a Western throwback moment?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean,
is it with what is it? Deadwood?
Isn't that Deadwood back? Just came back.
Yeah, I feel people, you know, cowboy, that kind of scene just makes people, especially dudes, feel like strong and manly.
Yeah.
So that's like the final frontier. Everyone thinks that like I'm gonna retire and go be a cowboy without realizing. Right. You can't do any cowboy shit, and you're 70.
Right. So, like, yeah, just try and ride on a horse for 15 minutes. Tell me how your butt feels after that.
You can't start cowboying now. You got to start when you're little with mutton busting.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Get in with it.
And that is what we call a full circle.
Yeah.
Are you starting to see that trend take hold in Texas? People wearing cowboy hats? Is that caught on?
We started that.
Yeah, I just saw one of those things, though. Cowboy boot remover tool, like to take your boots off.
Oh, like a boot.
I saw that shit for the first time because I've never, you know, I don't have much experience with cowboy boots, but for those who wear them often, they have special, it's like the opposite of a shoehorn.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's the get your boot off tool. Mm-hmm. And it goes like on the heel part, and it just makes it very easy.
I might
start wearing cowboy
boots. Bunch,
yeah.
Flap that thing right off.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you wear a lot of cowboy boots?
No.
Okay. Great. But you're familiar.
No. I'm familiar. I know what they're about.
Is there a name, proper name for that? Like a shoehorn? Like a boot scoop? I don't know what the fuck.
It's a boot scoop boogie.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
Hey, thanks a lot. You know, let me get a boot scoop here.
All right, I'm done.
All right. Maggie, it's been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Maggie May, haha. May is spelled M-A-Y-E.
Okay. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Of mine?
Or anyone's?
Marcelle Arguello had a tweet yesterday. She said, anytime I watch AOC go back and forth with someone who disagrees with her, I'm reminded why I never got into politics. I could never be as poised and diplomatic as her, because if it was me, I'd begin every retort with, first of all, bitch!
She
was a delightful, dramatic reading of that tweet.
I would be so, oh my goodness.
I mean, most of her replies to people are like, thanks, bitch. She's the woke bully, you know?
Uh-huh. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A couple tweets I like. First is from Miles Klee, at Miles Klee. It says, don't ask me to explain this, but a golden retriever is like the 1990s in dog form. Very true. And then Henry Zabrowski said, everybody wants a daddy, but some of us need fathers.
All right. Tweet I enjoy. Megan Amran tweeted, if you can get the pronouns right for a boat, you can get them right for a person. And Jenna Friedman tweeted, I'm calling my uterus John McCain so Trump's government keeps away from it.
Hey, I love that one.
At Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find our episodes and our footnotes. We're linked off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. It might be down for a little bit of maintenance. And the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on today?
I don't know much about this band. I just know they're called Horsey. Okay?
Okay.
And the song is called Bread and Butter. And it is and will be a toe-tapping boot shooter.
Toe-tapping boot shooter.
Yep.
All right. Well, we are going to ride out on that. We will be back on Monday. Have yourselves a great weekend, everybody. Yeah. Bye.
Your hair's silky, cat on milk. It doesn't open, let it milk. I like to eat a wedge when I'm living home for pleasure. You're a diamond.
So the heck on the flirt face staggers tactless biology. Shooting me in the balls with a vagina.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.